Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
It's always enjoyable to do an opponent preview for an opponent I'm not overly familiar with, and that is certainly the case today when we're talking about Arizona State. Brad Denny joins us now, covers the Sun Devils for 3TV and CBS 5 out there in Phoenix, and is the host of the Speak of the Devils podcast. Did you ever think about going at Shout at the Devils? A little more hard rock.
when we came up with the name like 13 years ago, honestly, it was just I Googled devil phrases, and that was the first one. It kind of made sense with the podcast theme, so we rolled with it ever since.
Speak of the devil is a good Southern phrase. We'll say it every now and then down here in the South. All right, Arizona State, in the state of Mississippi, everything is kind of viewed through the prism of the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State versus Ole Miss. I don't know if that's the same case in Arizona in the Territorial Cup, but when I look at Arizona State and I look at what Arizona was under Jed Fish, the first year, really bad. Second year, they took a nice step forward. Third year, really, really good. Is that the hope of Kenny Dillingham here, that year one was really tough, but in year two, they think they can be better?
As much as it pains Sun Devil fans to think about anything Wildcat related, that's a perfect blueprint, and one I think that the Sun Devils are kind of following in the footsteps of, because the Herm Edwards era left the program relatively like a smoking crater. Obviously, the NCAA sanctions, the roster was in terrible shape, and so really last year for Kenny Dillingham was kind of a year zero, and then you throw in just like pretty much unprecedented injuries along the offensive line and quarterback. Both of those position groups just completely ravaged to the point where they actually had to run like the swinging gate offense against UCLA just because they didn't have enough healthy offensive linemen. Started five different people at quarterback last year. So just everything that could have gone wrong last year kind of did go wrong. So it was definitely kind of added to the year zero feel. But now heading into the second year, they have a nice returning core. They've addressed some of the areas of need and really kind of bolstered the depth in the portal. Heading into the second year. So I think that, you should see kind of that Jed Fish year two kind of step forward. I'm not sure that they're, making any kind of big jumps to contend in the Big 12 as of yet, but you should see a much better football team this year for Kenny Dillingham than in his debut.
This was not a good team offensively or defensively a season ago. They only averaged about 18 points per game. They gave up 32 points per game. Where do you see the bigger improvement this year for the Sun Devils? Will they be better offensively or better defensively?
Oh, starting off on the offensive side, they almost have nowhere to go but up. As mentioned, they went through some pretty ridiculous injury situations on the offensive side. At quarterback, by week two or three, they're already down to their fourth string. They had times where they were starting a tight end and another game at running back at quarterback just because there were so many injuries along there. And then offensive line, they had 11 different starting combinations in 12 games. So really just kind of there's nowhere to go but up. They have bolstered the offensive line somewhat in terms of the depth. They brought in Sam Levitt from Michigan State. He just won the quarterback job. He's looked pretty good in fall camp. They have a very deep running back room that I think could potentially be pretty effective if the offensive line performs better. That's some interesting things at wide receiver. Over on the defensive side, they for about two-thirds of the season, they're actually pretty good. And then just because of the depth issues, they really got the doors blown off of them over the last three, four games of the season. But this is a unit that went up to Seattle to take on the Washington Huskies, didn't allow an offensive touchdown. And so there's a good core there. They've bolstered some of the front six of that group. So I think the defense should be pretty solid as they were for like kind of the first half last year, but the offense has nowhere to go but up. So I think you'll see the biggest improvement there, provided the offensive tackles are somewhat decent and Sam Levitt can provide some semblance of a passing game, something that they just simply didn't have last year.
Were you surprised that Levitt won that quarterback battle, or did you think Jeff Sims had a real shot there?
No, I mean Sam Levitt got here in the spring, and about the last half of spring practices really took command of the job. Kind of that was one of the primary reason that Jaden Rashada took off and transferred out of the program. It was just pretty clear that he had won the confidence of the coaching staff. Now, of course, with Rashada's departure, they needed to bring in another scholarship arm. Jeff Sims came in, and for about the first three, four practices, it looked like Sims might be able to give Levitt a run for his money. Both were performed pretty well, but just Levitt just kind of after about the fifth practice or so, Leavitt just continued his ascent, and Sims just really was starting to, you saw those turnover issues that really has plagued his career from Georgia Tech and then Nebraska. And then, and so it was just a matter of when, not if, Kenny was going to make the official announcement. So, yeah, you know, there might be some situational packages to take advantage of Sims' mobility, but this definitely is as the team that Sam Leavitt's won over.
This is a team that returns its top two rushers from a season ago, but its top two receivers from a season ago both enter the transfer portal. We'll see Elijah Badger at Florida a little later this year in Starkville. So who replaces Badger and Jalen Conyers in the passing game? Who will be the top targets for Sam Leavitt?
So starting out at wide receiver, Jordan Tyson, who transferred to the program for last season from Colorado, is really has the looks as kind of being Sam Leavitt's go-to guy. They really developed a nice rapport and chemistry in spring that's really carried over. Now, a couple of years ago, his first year at Colorado, Tyson was pretty effective. In fact, he had almost 200 total yards receiving in special teams at punt return touchdown against Arizona State. So they got a firsthand look. Last year, he was making his way back from knee injury. He's looks to be full go and really has the potential, I think, to be an effective Big 12 receiver. Switching over to tight end, yeah, that's almost a completely different room, actually completely, entirely different in terms of the scholarship guys. They brought in Markeeston Douglas from Florida State, Cameron Harpole from San Diego State. Both were pretty solid in spring, but I think the wild card here is Shimon Mateer, who played last year at Cincinnati, had five touchdowns, had a cup of coffee in the spring at Colorado before coming down to Tempe. A little bit of a slow start in fall camp because he was a post-spring addition, but he's really kind of turned it on. He's really kind of wrested control away, and I think he's got probably the highest ceiling of the tight end group. Had a really nice one-handed touchdown catch at a big scrimmage down here. So he's flashed some upper tier ability. Just we'll see if the consistency can be there, because this is an offense under new coordinator Marcus Arroyo that really wants to feature the tight end. So there's some talent there, but we'll see if these guys who kind of collectively haven't really yet done it on the FBS level for a sustained basis are able to find that consistency.
Both of these teams, Mississippi State and Arizona State, are picked towards the bottom of their respective conferences. For Mississippi State, from our perspective over here in Starkville, it really feels like this is a game where if State doesn't win, it's going to be an incredibly long season for the Bulldogs. What is the feeling over there in Tempe about this game? How big would a win would it be, and what does a loss mean if it happens that way?
Yeah, this is kind of the middle part of a pretty daunting non-conference slate for the Sun Devils. It's interesting that a lot of the fan base is really thinking that this should be a team that kind of contends for bowl, and that they need some of these non-conference wins to get there, because their Big 12 schedule is pretty brutal. There's five preseason ranked Big 12 teams. ASU's got them all at some point on the schedule, so they're going to need to collect some of these wins. I think that this is a game that's going to be a nice measuring stick, because an SEC team is coming to town. ASU has really kind of touted that they've increased their depth and size and just overall talent level. And so I think they start off against Wyoming, which is certainly no slouch, but I think this is going to be a real interesting measuring stick for the Devils in terms of the fan base, the staff and players, to see kind of where they are in this kind of de facto year one of the overall program rebuild. I don't necessarily think that there's too much right in terms of a win or a loss, but I think it's going to be as I mentioned, a good measuring stick to kind of figure out, all right, where are we stacked up in terms of this rebuild. They feel the talent level has risen, so this will be a good chance to see if how much credence there is to that.
The most important question to wrap us up for the Bulldog fans making the trip out to Tempe: where should they eat?
Oh, absolutely, the Chuck Box. It's a burger place right next to campus. It's cash only, so they're the heads up there. But it's one of those places that's been around for like 60 years. All around campus is brand new development and these amazing new buildings. But then there's this little like log cabin right in the middle of that, tucked away, that has been serving great burgers for decades. When my dad was a student at ASU, I mean, that's his go-to spot. And on game days, there's a big line, but it's worth the wait. It's definitely a Tempe institution.
We'll have to check it out when we head out to the Valley of the Sun. Brad, Denny, thanks so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it. We'll be talking to you again in a couple of weeks when we actually are previewing this game in the regular season. So we'll talk to you in week 2, man. Appreciate you.
Of course, yeah. Always great to talk ball. Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.